Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Are you, so there was a question this morning on ESPN, are the 76ers now, should they be the favorite in the East?
I mean, if you can make an argument, you can make an argument.
Okay, can you name the top four teams in the East in order?
You want me to tell you how I think they are?
No,
I still think
they are right now. Not what you think they are.
Is it Bulls 1?
No.
Because that's how I think the Bulls are the best team. Then
you
it's going to be the Heat. Then it's the Heat.
The Heat are the best team.
So it would be Heat, Bulls, Sixers, and then Bucks. It's got to be Bucks or Cavs. Bucks or Cavs.
Bucks.
Cavs are higher than I thought they were.
The Cavs are higher. They're fifth. And then the Celtics, the Raptors, the Nets. By the way, Kevin Durant coming back. Have you seen what Tyler?
Kevin Durant comes back.
I was looking at MVP odds and whatnot. NBA. Have you seen Tyler Hero is the prohibitive sixth man favorite.
Yep.
He had 30 last night. Now the Bucks beat him by one. But Tyler Hero, DeMar DeRozan is unbelievable, and having an unbelievable year. But you know what? The 76ers should be the favorite right now. Is Daryl Morey?
The 76ers should be the favorite. Listen, Daryl knows what he's doing, and Daryl probably knew he was going to get the good version of James. I just don't think it changes. There's somebody wrote an article about don't let this version of James fool you. It always happens like this. And it is true. James is the good soldier the first year, and then it falls apart. We saw it with Howard. We saw it with Chris Paul. We saw it when he went to the Nets. We'll see it with Joel Embiid at some point. Unless James just decides to fundamentally change who he is, which I thought would be the case with the Nets, but it wasn't even the case with the Nets. And I get it. Kyrie Irving's tough to deal with and all that stuff. But Kevin Durant is not. I don't know. You had experience with Kevin Durant previously. There was never any doubt you were going to get James's best when he first came over. He wants to prove people wrong. He wants to show people that. He even said the other day, "Hey, I'm a great teammate. I'm one of the best teammates in the NBA. I don't know where this bad teammate thing comes
from." Everybody loves him.
Everyone loves me.
Right, right.
I'm the best on and off the court, which was one of the funniest sound bites I've ever heard. But John, they should be one of the favorites because James can still ball. Joel Embiid is a legitimate MVP candidate. Yes, they have enough to definitely come out of the East. I still think Milwaukee is going to be really tough when it's all said and done because they have Giannis. But my question is not about that. It's how long a contract do you give the same guy who's gone double fat suit and who has got to make do with a really big personality in Joel Embiid, really big alpha.
Do you
want to give him a long-term max dollar deal where it is going to hang over your neck or hang around your neck like an anchor? Are you sure you want to do that, Daryl Morey? Because if you do, you're out of the analytics group. And I will take him out of the tech string for me.
Whoa.
And all my fantasy.
Now, you said it's not happening, and I'm guaranteeing you James is going to get the max he can get over another 4 years with the 76ers.
I will say he is not getting $50 million over 4 years.
Well, I don't know that because he doesn't have bird rights.
Well, it's going to be in that neighborhood.
Well, it's going to be big. It's going to be large.
You're saying the most he can possibly get.
The most he can get.
I don't see how an analytics guy could possibly do that with James's age. I told you
he would get traded to him.
Let's wait and see when that long-term contract comes out, because I don't think he's getting the longest. Now, you want to tell me a three-year deal? That's easier to fade. A long-term deal, there's no chance. One that gets him paid, we're talking about one that gets him paid when he's 37. I can't see that.
We'll see.
I just can't see that.
You just don't see it. You don't see the undying.
I'm not saying he doesn't think James. I also think he believes James really good scorer. Is Daryl right?
Once again, Phil. Now all of a sudden, Philly, we're the favorite. Look how good we are. He tweeted out, "I told you guys about this," and you don't think that he's going to He's going to give him as much as he can. This undying love, it's a love that you've never seen before.
I just don't think it's about an undying love. I think it's about a love of – he sees James as binary numbers. He's one or zero, 1-0, 0-0, 1-1, 0-0. And as long as he's productive, yeah, he's going to love a guy that he knows can create certain productivity – that follow productivity models. I don't believe that James can follow a productivity model when he's 36, 37 years old. I don't believe it. And I doubt that any numeric modeling is going to show that James Harden is likely to continue at this pace at that age with his off-field, with his off-court behavior. It's just not – it doesn't make any sense. And if Daryl starts giving out contracts that are the most you can give over long periods of time for aging guys who spend all their time – carousing off the court and who go up and down and wait, that just doesn't make sense from a model.
I'm telling you, you're going to die.
So let's see
what
happens.
Die on this. He won't sign James Harden to the biggest deal he can get mounted.
For a long
time.
Let's just see when it happens. Because I also will tell you that if anything goes sideways for the rest of the year, which it won't, that's going to be a problem. Which it won't. Now, I could see him extending. I can't see long-term extension. That's my problem.
Watch.
Long-term max dollar extension. I don't want to hear it. 3 years is not a long-term extension.
Speaking of max dollars, we got the Culture Map guys coming up next right here on ESPN 97.5. They're max dollar guys, the two of them. Okay, so we've got them coming up next right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. In the meantime, I'm telling you right now about McGrath Pest Control, right? Tyler, you didn't think I was going to. You thought. I did scare you. I scared you a little bit. Here, my man, Scott McGrath, actually, they're coming to my house next month, next week, as a matter of fact. We got it scheduled where Hawaii's going to come by. He's going to spray. Going to do it all. He's going to check. I'm going to have him check the mosquito murdering system because we got that. Make sure that everything is all right there. We've had some work done in the backyard, so make sure that all my sprays are working and everything is cool. But listen, I've got the mosquito murdering system, and I'm telling you, it is the best thing. There's no mosquitoes in the backyard. I didn't have any. And now it's going to start to get warm again. And if you had especially in the summer, but and then the fall and the spring here, mosquitoes are bad too because it's hot all the time. You are going to, if you had issues just sitting in your backyard or you had to put spray on every night and that stinks and the stickiness and all of that stuff, we never need any of that because we've got the mosquito murdering system and they're not in our backyard. They won't be in yours either. So you're looking for a great way to get out of those mosquitoes. You want to enjoy your backyard? You can't do it unless you get the mosquito murdering system from McGrath Pest Control. They're the best. You will love everything about McGrath Pest Control. So professional, so wonderful. No bugs. All you got to do is get on over to McGrathPestControl.com or you can give them a call, 281-469-8240. That's 281-469-8240.
This is Jose Altuve, and you're listening to Jung and Lance on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by Golf Course Chevrolet, Witt, and GMC.
Welcome back to The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Yep, that one. Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Eric and Stevie D, Culture Map guys, joining us here this morning to talk about what's happening in the city of Houston. What's going on, boys?
Well, tonight's the big premiere of Top Chef. The season was filmed in Houston in September and October, so... You know, you may have been lucky. You may have been at a Whole Foods one day when the contestants went running through to buy all their stuff. But for the most part, this happened sort of invisibly. You know, closed restaurants, places where people couldn't really go. So this will be our first chance to see how the city is depicted, who the contestants are, where places they're going.
Oh, we don't know who the contestants are?
Well, we do. There's only one from Houston. Her name is Evelyn Garcia. She worked at a restaurant called Decatur Bar a couple of years ago. She has a business she calls Kin that's like Pan-Asian food. So they make hot food like at the farmer's market, and then they have sauces and other ingredients.
Okay, so... Oh, so they brought in people from... I wish it was just Houston people. Then that would be cool.
No. It's really like they're a super talented group. Like some of them have been nominated for James Beard Awards. A lot of them have worked at Michelin-starred restaurants. That's what you want.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what Top Chef is. It's the best of the best
right
for the title.
Right, so it's also... I talked to some guys who were involved with it or turned it down because they own you. Top Shelf pretty much owns you after you're on that show.
Oh, I believe you, but they don't share those details with me. But yeah. Sure, why not?
Yeah. I mean, I think they get like whatever percentage of your business going forward for the rest of your life just because you were on Top Shelf. But it makes you famous.
Yeah, I mean, it's inarguable that it raises your profile. I mean, Dawn Burrell is from Houston. Yeah. She was in the finals last year. And, I mean, if you just look at her, like, social media followers or the kind of opportunity she's getting.
That's Leroy's sister. Dawn Burrell? Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Oh, that's good. Yeah, she's good.
She's been, she's super talented. And now she's a really big deal nationally.
Yeah. So that starts tonight. What was it on?
7 o'clock on Bravo. There are watch parties around. The official one is at St. Arnold.
Cool.
Axelrad is doing one, and then Feejus Barbecue in Spring Branch. I know they've got one.
Oh, cool. Any restaurant openings that we need to know about?
Yeah, so I went to Wild Oats, which is Chris Shepherd's new restaurant in the Houston Farmers Market. It's kind of Texas cuisine, so they have like a chicken fried steak on the menu. They have a crispy pork shank. They have a pork steak. They have redfish on the half shell. They'll serve you chili cup, bowl, or shot. Which is a really nice way to eat chili when it's just like a little bit with the fully dressed with the cheese and the jalapeno and the whole thing. They do a really expansive brunch buffet. I was there on Sunday, and it's
expansive, like, not expensive.
Well, both $55 a person. So
no, okay.
So you know, two
it's
drinks.
Expansive and expensive.
It's both. Yeah, you're going to pay for the quality, but I mean, I thought it was well worth it.
Was it? It was good. It was a good buffet. Yeah. Where is it again?
It is at the Houston Farmers Market. So Airline and 610.
Airline and 610.
Kind of Heights-ish.
Yeah. Anything else going on food-wise?
No.
Okay. All right. So, you hit any good spots lately that you need to talk about?
Well, you know, I went back to Helen, the Greek restaurant in Rice Village, for the first time in, I think, 3 or 4 years. This week, I had a wonderful dinner. A roasted branzino with, like, tomatoes and okra. They do, like, a... Instead of like a traditional spanakopita, they do like a sharing-sized pie with collard greens and feta cheese. A couple other things. It's just a really satisfying.
Helen.
On, I want to say, University or Rice, one of those two.
One of those two. It doesn't matter. It's right there.
Yeah, it's right there in the middle of the village.
Yeah, excellent. All right, Eric, that's Eric. And Stevie D is here as well. What's up?
Great to be here, John. Welcome back.
I appreciate it.
Want to hear all about the trip. But Eric talked about Top Chef Watch Party, St. Arnold. That's happening tonight. File this under ridiculous. Do you and Wendy have pets?
Nope.
Okay. I don't know if you're a cat person, but there's this thing called AcroCats. It's a national phenomenon. It's all over YouTube. It's a touring cat performance where the cats are playing instruments. They're on skateboards. They're rolling on balls. So they're doing all kinds of crazy stuff. They play keyboards. It's insane. You know, like Keyboard Cat, the internet sensation. So if you're into cats, if you're into that sort of thing,
Paul Gallant is a big cat guy.
He needs to go to AcroCats.
Yeah.
If you're into circuses, Bernardo's Circus is coming into town. It's kind of an American circus meets Broadway. Very showy. Very Dancing with the Stars. And why do I mention Dancing with the Stars? Dancing with the Stars. Live coming to town. So over at Smart Financial Center, you're going to see all the performers touring, bringing their dance. And, you know, I think there's a couple of Munch Schubert, I think, maybe is one of the apples.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Schumpert.
Yeah. Yep. Pardon me. Yeah. He's NBA guy.
Yeah.
So he's.
Yeah, he had funny hair for a while.
Funny, very funny.
I don't know
hair.
If it's still funny.
Yeah. And then this is kind of cool for us Gen Xers. Okay. Are you a Star Wars guy?
Not at all. No.
Eric, Star Wars guy?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so Return of the Jedi. You know, the famous Star Wars score. Houston Symphony's screening on their 40-foot screen, Return of the Jedi, and they're playing the theme accompanying it. So if you're, and they're inviting you to dress in costume. They've got Star Wars themed drinks. It's really, really cool. So it's a really cool way to see a movie and live scoring.
Right. Yeah, I don't like that fantasy stuff, you know, that crazy stuff. I'm a Lord of the Rings guy.
Oh, because
that's real. I like real, right? Real TV,
real
stuff.
Yeah. What country did that happen in? It was like
Middle
the 1200s.
It was Middle Earth.
Yeah, it's like the 1100s.
Yeah, I don't know if you heard Middle Earth. Yeah,
right.
You were kind of in Middle Earth now.
I'm kind of a Middle Earth guy. I'm really a Middle Earth guy. Yeah. No. Anything else going on?
That's it. That's the big stuff this weekend.
That's the big stuff this weekend.
And then the Buffalo Bayou Regatta. If you're into outdoor stuff, two things happening. I'll do real quick. Outdoor stuff. Buffalo Bayou Regatta. It's Buffalo Bayou. It's if you're into canoeing, kayaking, you can go race, register today. and race, you know, float down Buffalo Bayou. Eric has a friend who is really big into that. Mm-hmm. And you can win prizes, or you can just go and watch, and it ends at Allen's Landing. And then also the rink at Discovery Green, if you want to go roller skating outdoors. It's only for 5 weeks, but it's opening at Discovery Green. So that's kind
most of people at these at this time of year have ice rinks. We have roller rinks.
We have roller rinks.
Right, that is an H-Town moment.
That
is. So is there a lack of stuff because of the rodeo? I mean, if people don't want to compete with the rodeo?
Yeah, there's some outdoor stuff going on, but really right now it's all rodeo.
This is a bad
time. Yeah.
Do you ever go over and eat some of the deep fried stuff?
Yeah, I went to the Gold Buckle Foodie Awards a couple of days ago. That's kind of the best of the Midway. So I had a mac and cheese fried egg roll.
How was it?
It's gooey and crispy and delicious. Like, what's not to like? I had a jambalaya roll that was super fun, like a ricey kind of egg roll situation. You know, giant like steak on a stick.
And all this stuff you can get every night,
is out there in the Midway every day. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago. Bun B's, Troll Burgers is out there. So, yeah, there's the new restaurant called The Ranch that's kind of very, very lively, but finally you can sit down and you have a place you can sit down and get a drink and a snack.
Right there outside with the carnival.
Yeah, right next to the wine garden. In between Astrodome and the stadium.
Definitely a you and Wendy spot because, right, Eric, there's a saloon and a steakhouse.
Yeah, there's both.
Right. Yeah, but I don't drink. It's Lent. I don't drink at all. So,
no Coors Light for Lent.
Yeah, that's it. No Coors Lights for Lent.
Get you some Coke Zero.
Yeah, well, that's boring. That's I don't do it. I pretty much don't do anything right now because it's just too boring to be out.
But you look good.
With people who are just all you drunks out there. I'm opposed to it. So that's great. Well, we appreciate it, guys. As always, great stuff. And it's culturemap.com. That's culturemap.com. You're looking for the best stuff and the most information about your city. It's all at culturemap.com. As always, we appreciate it. Taking a break right here on ESPN 97.5 at 92.5. Lance comes back. Don't you go anywhere.
This is Heisman Trophy winner Troy Smith, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5. Go Bucks.
Godfather of Houston Sports Radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I'm looking at Mike McDaniel right now on Good Morning Football, Lance. He's talking to Pete. And let me ask you a question. Tua throw a pass to Jalen. You think Jalen would rather be with Mac Jones right now or with Tua?
Max is homie. He's tight with Mac Jones. So I might say Mac Jones. Mac Jones!
I'm Mac Jones, yeah.
I'm Mac Jones! I might say, Mac Jones. Actually, hold on.
But now he's...
Yeah. So Cam Wolf's about to join us. Hold on, in just a second from NFL Network. Here it is. So Tyler, I'll text you his phone number and let's get him on.
Who are we getting now?
Cameron Wolf, who had the he wrote a piece for NFL Network about Chris Greer saying door is shut, and he's a Tyler. You want to give him the you want to give John the information about how another. Just another one of our interns made it big.
Former intern, yep.
Oh, yeah.
Big time. I think he was here right before me.
Kelly Eiko,
yeah.
Was he an intern?
Former intern, yep.
Now for The Athletic. Cameron Wolf, NFL Network. Cameron Cox, Emmy Award-winning sportscaster in Arizona.
And Cameron Wolf.
Yeah, and Cameron Wolf, who's getting ready. I just texted the phone number to you right now, Tyler. So let's give him a call and get him on right now before we get to news of Los Locos. I don't think that's how it's said. But
anyway, the difference is because Mike McDaniel now is the head coach over there, and I'd be interested to see how much better their offense is going to be versus I'm not uncertain what's going on in New England with Josh McDaniels leaving now.
Oh, I got you. Yeah,
I mean, so that might and I mean, I might want to live in Miami.
Does it matter? I mean, does it matter? If it matters, then you're saying that Mac Jones is just a system quarterback and that Josh McDaniels' system did it.
Well, is Mac Jones is just a system quarterback?
No, I think he's a good game manager. I think he's accurate, has some poise. I think he's a pretty good quarterback. So, yeah, I think he's a decent quarterback. I think Tua might end up being a system quarterback. They ran a heavy RPO looks and stuff like that for him. But Tua also got him over 100 catches. So, you know, he did pretty well with Tua Tagovailoa. Jalen Waddle, that is.
Yeah, Jalen Waddle did just fine.
You got a ton of catches with Tua at the quarterback position.
Well, Devontae loved Mac, and so did Jalen. But he's with Tua now, and Cameron Wolf is with us right now on ESPN 97.5. He's a reporter for the NFL Network and former intern right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 and making it big in the big world. Cameron, welcome in. How are you?
What's going on, fellas? How y'all feeling?
Man, we're doing great, as well as you are. All right, but we're doing okay.
I was on with Cam yesterday. We did a little hit on the NFL Network set, as a matter of fact, talking Tennessee Titans. I know you covered the Titans, but one of the reasons we wanted to get you on was you wrote an article about basically the Chris Greer. I mean, you took what Chris Greer said, had the article where he said the door is slammed shut. We thought that was kind of interesting because, you know, it's always been out there that we know that the Deshaun Watson to Miami thing broke down before the trade deadline last year. And I've heard about some of the ways, you know, that it had a chance to go down and then it broke down. But for Chris Greer, do you feel like with him coming out and saying that, how much of that do you think is Mike McDaniel, the new head coach, saying, nah, I looked at Tua, we're good with Tua like they say it is, and how much of it is Stephen Ross saying, I'm not messing with Deshaun, we're just not doing this again?
Hey, no, I think a lot of it is Mike McDaniel, you know, and Chris, it was interesting listening to him talk yesterday because he didn't do the podium, but he did and off to the side with some of us who live in Miami, and he really singled out Mike McDaniel. He said, hey, he watched every snap of him coming in, and he felt like he would be a really good fit for the system. He felt like he had a lot of development left and really felt like he could be a really good quarterback. And he said, that's why we did it. You know, if you remember last year, they were very vague on Tua throughout the year, and it frustrated Tua's camp because they had to listen to the Deshaun Watson rumblings and the team wasn't doing much to douse fire. So I thought it was very interesting that early in the offseason, they had been clear that, hey, it's Tua no matter what. He's our guy. And, you know, Greer saying on the record, hey, the door shut on that, it essentially gives Tua peace of mind, and it allows them to build. Now, we all have the same questions about Tua. Can he be that elite quarterback? What's his ceiling? And Greer even admitted yesterday, hey, I don't know, you know, if he can be that guy. Maybe it's too early. I can't say he can't be. That was the quote he used. But I do think they feel like at least in 2022, this year, the best route is for us to surround Tua and give him all the confidence, the trust, the support, and see how this goes.
Well, and I think it's, I mean, it was amazing that Flores got fired when they won eight of their last nine games. And you know, how much of that do they go, any other team would be looking at that and going, wow, maybe we got something here. And the Dolphins fire their coach, and, well, are we sure about Tua? I mean, you would think that there would be a lot of optimism with the way they finished that season.
Absolutely. I mean, I was shocked that Flores got fired. He was shocked. You know, I don't remember the last time I saw a coach getting fired losing, winning eight of their last nine games. And, you know, you mentioned it at the top, but the Deshaun Watson stuff last year was very real. You know, that was something that they had a lot of interest in. And, you know, I'm of the understanding that if the legal situation was more clear, then Deshaun Watson would be a Dolphin. So now they're in a situation now where they believe they're close as a team. You know, I don't know if I think they're as close as they think they are, but they believe they can keep things a lot of status quo on the defensive side of the ball and get better around Tua on the offensive side. They're going to do a new scheme, a lot of what the 49ers did as far as the zone blocking scheme. You know, Kyle wants to do a lot of, you know, getting the ball to the playmakers in the open field. Obviously, they have Jalen Waddle who can do that, but I think they'll go out in free agency or the draft and get another one or two of those guys who can get yak. And they believe that with the play-action game, with the zone blocking scheme, they can really attenuate to his accuracy. So I'm with you that I was shocked that Flores is gone. You know, I'm going to give McDaniel every chance to prove it, but I think it's going to be an interesting period for the Dolphins because – Chris Greer has made clear that he doesn't believe this is a rebuilding team. So he thinks going into year one, they should be ready to be a playoff team and contend right off the bat.
Well, so they have over $60 million in cap space, which gives them that opportunity to contend right away. And when you look at some of the moves that Chris Greer, you know, and Flores made, trading Laremy Tunsil for the draft picks they did from the Texans, moving Minkah Fitzpatrick, which he's a really good football player, but they did get a first in return for him. Some of the moves that they've made have put them in contention to be a legitimate playoff team here fairly quickly. But then the salary cap number, it really gives them some opportunities to rebuild quickly. A team in our division who you've covered, the Tennessee Titans, they are over the cap by, I think, $8 or $9 million. They have a center, Ben Jones, who they've got to figure out what they're going to do. They've got a hole at right tackle that, you know, unfortunately, they drafted Isaiah Wilson, and that was a disaster before it even jumped off. It was a disaster. Well, unfortunate for them, fortunate for the Texans. But and then you look at, you know, you look at Ryan Tannehill, and unfortunately, Ryan Tannehill's been fantastic in Tennessee in his second stint as a, you know, in his second iteration of who he is. But Cam, it also looked like last year in the playoffs, you saw this is who Tannehill is. You can get to a certain point, and then that's probably going to be as far as you can get. The Vikings have it with Kirk Cousins. I think Tennessee has it with Tannehill. How do they get over the hump when they don't have a second-round pick and they're over the cap?
Now, Tennessee's in a really precarious spot because, like you mentioned, I think they're stuck in that good category. You know, a lot of teams are desperately trying to get into the playoffs. The Titans have been there for much of the last 4 years. They just can't get over the hump. And, you know, I was listening to John Robinson yesterday in his presser and also off to the side when he did, you know, a session with the reporters, and he got really emotional.
He was crying.
Last year. Yeah, he was crying.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it.
It literally was like a minute. Like, you got to ask a question, and he's crying and tearing up for a minute. And so, like, you know, I don't remember seeing that in the combine presser before or combine interview session before. But, I, you know, if I can maybe give a reason why, I think that he's probably thinking, hey, we had a really good shot, and I don't know how many more shots we're going to get like that. And, you know, the way the AFC matched up. So I think the Titans are in a situation where, one, they have to plan for a future past Ryan Tannehill. They've made clear he's this guy in 2022, but I think they should be looking at the market for a quarterback, developmental guy. You know, this obviously isn't a great draft for it, but, you know, it wouldn't shock me if even in that first-round pick, if they found a guy, if it dropped to him, if they pulled the trigger there. But they need to get better offensively, you know, whether it's offensive line or getting another playmaker. Julio Jones just is not reliable for them, and so they need somebody else to really in the passing game to offset A.J. Brown.
Do they need Foreman too, just in case, because now is Derrick Henry going to be reliable?
Yeah. I think they'll bring Foreman back, especially if he's, you know, his market's, you know, not too precarious. But they definitely need that second runner. As we saw this year, Derrick broke down, and let's just be frank. He's a very heavy, high leverage and high carry back who's big, but he's also, you know, human. So we saw him break down this year. I think the worry the Titans have is, you know, how long can you ride Derrick Henry? And once you lose Derrick Henry, that whole Titans offense is a different identity. So I think you'll see them bring Deontay Foreman back. They drafted the kid a couple years ago, Darrington Evans. And John Robinson was very clear that he was disappointed in him being injured all year. And so he was a third rounder, and they have got nothing from him really in the last 2 years. So I wouldn't be shocked if they draft another running back at that spot, too, to try to continue to keep that well, because they want to be a run-first team regardless of who they add in the passing game this year.
Hmm. Well, Lance, why am I watching you yesterday and Cameron on NFL Network, and he's all dressed up in a suit, and you got some kind of tablecloth on?
What? Because they told me, I'm like, what do I need? What am I doing? They didn't tell me anything this year. They said, oh, you're probably going to be doing some TV. I said, well, what's the, are we going casual? Because, you know, now since you never know when you can just wear a hoodie on TV or when you have to have a jacket. And I said, well, how am I dressed?
Right.
Just bring some. They go, we don't know how much we're going to bring you or use you. We know we're going to. Just bring a couple button downs. You should be good. And then just bring your quarter zips and polos for the actual combine shows. I brought button downs, and the guy, and I get there, they go, do you have a, I said, what am I wearing? I brought my button downs. They go, did you bring a jacket? If you didn't, I don't care. I said, no, I didn't bring a jacket. I was told that this is what I bring. Yeah, I don't care. Just wear whatever. okay, I get there. Cam is styling and profiling, and I'm sitting here like, man, I just got this like Johnston and Murphy checkered ass shirt on.
Go to the store today and buy a suit.
Nah, I ain't buying nothing. You ain't getting a suit out of me. Hey, nothing.
When you got the draft nuggets and the draft juice like Lance, you just show up all day.
Yeah, I just show up in whatever. Yeah. Lucky you don't get a T-shirt. John, I've already done that. I bought like thousands of dollars worth of suits, wore it at the combine the last 2 years, and then they go, "Yeah, we're going casual combine from now." I'm like, "But what about all the money I had to spend on suits?" Nah, we're just wearing polos and quarter zips now. I'm like, man, you got me messed up.
Man, Cam's looking good up there on the set, and you're all.
I know. He's a TV guy. I'm a digital guy. There's a difference.
Got some kind
John.
Of tablecloth.
He's network. I'm digital. That's a big difference, John. That's a big difference.
Huge difference. Well, man, yeah. Cam, congratulations on getting the gig and all your work, man. We see you working hard following all these teams, and you're doing a great job. Congratulations, man.
For sure.
Appreciate you, fellas. Definitely appreciate that.
Where'd you go to school, by the way?
He went to U of H.
You're a Cougar.
Oh, go Cougs.
Yeah. Three Cougs at the Senior Bowl, too. Three Cougs at the Senior Bowl. Pepe Williams, Marcus Marcus Jones, and then Logan Hall. So we got three Cougs there, yeah.
How about the season they had this year?
Yeah. 11 wins, you know. Nice, man. Yeah.
Yeah. And
basketball team isn't the only one Final that's four. Doing things out there.
Yep, and a Final Four, you got it all, baby. You did it. Yeah, great year this year. Well, man, we appreciate it, Cameron. Thanks for joining us, and great insight.
Appreciate you, fellas.
All right, there's Cameron Wolf right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. All right, taking a break. When we come back, all kinds of weird, weird stuff that we got to get you to, including $900,000 from hackers, McDonald's for their ice cream machines. We'll tell you why next right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
Isn't it weird?
This is so weird.
Time now for News of the Weird on the Bench.
Boy, what the hell's wrong with you?
Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Lance, apparently U.S. Representative Van Taylor from Plano, he has decided to end his reelection campaign. Had a little bit of an issue. Apparently he had a month-long affair. It's never good, right? It's never good to have a month-long affair. He said it was a mistake, one of the worst mistakes of his life. With a Plano woman who's named Tanya Joya. She's married with three children. That might not be the worst part of it, though. She is also known as a former jihadist who was once married to a commander for the Islamic State. Tabloids refer to her as the ISIS bride. Now, when you go look her up, she's pretty hot. Is it okay, if she's pretty hot, to have an affair with the ISIS bride?
No.
Even if she's pretty hot now?
No. Have some standards.
Well, but she's hot.
Do you sure you want to go down this? You want to move to the next story? Or keep going with the jihadist? It's your choice.
Well, and I think that's probably a problem for someone in Congress. You know.
Yeah.
I'm having a little affair. Oh, what is she? Like the maid? Yeah. Isn't that what Arnold did with the maid? Of course, that cost him, too. That cost him a bunch. But a jihadist, I don't know. I'm probably a bad choice, even if she's hot.
I think so. Yeah, I think so.
Well, the problem with Arnold's was she wasn't very hot. That was the problem. But there's this. Okay. So I just wanted to get your thought on it. California, here's a headline. Fortune magazine says Californians are fleeing to Mexico to escape outrageous housing prices. Do you want to move to Mexico from California?
I don't know. I've never lived in California. I don't know that I would want to move to Mexico. Is Mexico known for just amazing living conditions? I know that there's people flee there to go to places that are really nice, like, Cabo or whatever. I don't know about living there.
We here Californians are fleeing. You know,
we know they're going to Austin.
Well,
we know they're going
to Austin. That's for sure. Because there's poop all over the street, so they're used to it. So human poop. They you know what? Oh, it's just like home. Only it's cheaper. And there's no state income.
It's really not that much cheaper. Actually.
No, it's actually.
I talked to somebody who lived there and said, "Hey, you didn't tell me that this is basically just like LA, only hotter." I'm like, "You didn't ask."
Yeah.
Sorry.
We got a couple of pilot stories. Did you see the pilot that was arrested yesterday?
No.
Apparently he was four times over the legal limit for alcohol.
Yikes.
A JetBlue pilot.
Flying a plane.
Yeah. He was removed from the cockpit pit of a plane in Buffalo, New York on suspicion he was intoxicated. Yeah, took the test four times the legal limit.
Wow.
I just don't want my pilots getting wasted. And listen,
no.
I'm not going to be hypocritical. Have a good time, everybody. But not right before you fly my plane.
Not when you're working. No, don't have a good time when you're off work.
Yeah.
How about that? Especially when your work is related to flying people through the air.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, you're not allowed to drink. So, no, you're not allowed to drink. You're not allowed to have a good time. Wait until you're off, and you and the flight attendants are going to have drinks at the hotel bar. Not when I'm on the plane.
Yeah, I just think. You
fly John around.
I just think, no, I'm all for having a good time. But this, just let's not drink and drive the plane. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. There was another pilot. Apparently, he has murder charges against him. So he was fired by his employer, Jetstar. And he says, wait a minute, he's suing Jetstar because they unfairly dismissed him. Do you think a suspected murderer should be your pilot?
No, I don't want that either.
I don't really care. Which one would you rather have? The drunk or the suspected murderer? And
I guess murderer? I guess murderer wants to get us home too.
Right.
You know?
He wants to get home?
The murderer wants us all to, you know, wants to fly the plane. So, boy, I guess if I had to choose one, this is the worst game ever.
I'm going to go with the murderer, okay? A woman who killed a $30 million lottery winner is backing the bill that would keep lottery winners' names secret. She says it puts a target on them. Well, I guess you killed somebody for the $30 million lottery payout. I think you would know.
Yep.
McDonald's is getting sued by hackers. Apparently, there is an app that you could put on your phone that they had agreed to use for their to fix their ice cream machines.
What, hackers?
Yeah.
How are hackers?
Donald's.
What you're doing is illegal. Wait, what now?
Well, no, but they apparently, I don't know. So apparently, you put this app on your phone, and it would help you fix it. They could fix your ice cream machine through the app. But McDonald's is saying, hey, they can also get all of our intel from our company, so don't anybody use them.
Yeah, exactly. So this company, this company's saying, no, we don't do that.
Well,
you slandered us. That's
okay.
What saying.
Kind of secrets does McDonald's have that we can't have? Honestly, I mean, really? Yeah. Come on, McDonald's. What? That all your stuff is frozen, and you know what? What are you doing? That's so. I mean, we can't possibly hear what's going on in your business. Stop already. All right. A Florida man in an attempt to avoid a speeding ticket. You know who he blamed?
Who?
Putin.
What'd he say?
He said he sped up to try and get ahead of another driver, but he decided to tell the truth. I just found out that Putin just said he's going to launch nuclear thermal war against the world, and I was trying to get back to my house and find out what's going on. Do you think that you...
I mean, it's worth a shot.
Hey.
It's worth a shot.
Do you
absolutely.
Think they should let him go because he was worried about Putin?
Like I said, it's worth a shot.
I might as well. I don't think he really got away with it though. All right, we're done. Pauly G is next. Vanessa, who Lance says is working hard over there.
She is.
Nonstop.
You heard all the interviews that we've had with Lovie Smith. We're the only radio station with a presence here. The only one.
Look at that. Look at us.
How about this? DP did like a 10-minute interview with me yesterday for Texans TV. I know it has to murder 610 that I was on the on there.
Oh, well. Sorry. And who'd you tell her to draft, that they should draft?
Who'd I tell who?
Who'd you tell DP they should draft?
Oh, you know what? I actually said Evan Neal or Aiden Hutchinson, and if both are off the board, trade back. I told her straight up, trade back.
Well, see, I see. At least you're consistent about that. You're not giving false information to the Texans Communist Radio Television Network. We're done, and you, my friends, are getting Vanessa and Pauly G next right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Answer that.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. The Affordable Care Act continues to be a complex regulation, and employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.